It was 1984 when I surrendered to the ministry. And I promised God then that I was going to preach everything that was found in His book, or I wasn't going to preach at all.
Amen, brother. Come on.
And I stand up here today as somebody who is struggling. Matter of fact, probably if I was like some of you, I probably wouldn't even came today. Preacher has to come whether he wants to or not. You get to stay home when you're struggling. I have probably had one of the worst days. I've had a long time yesterday. And I bring all that to you to say, after much prayer and deliberation over the last few weeks and months, I am going to preach a series of sermons on the subject of hell.
Come on, brother.
I've done heard that hell is a subject that shouldn't be preached. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's in the Bible, so I think it ought to be preached.
Amen. Amen.
And then I've heard that it scares folks. Well, I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just trying to state reality according to the Bible, what God has to say.
Amen.
And so I'm going to ask you to do me a favor that I don't usually like to ask, but I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. That is, starting this morning, and I'm going to do the flip side. Us that know Christ, we're going to heaven when we die. I'm going to do the flip side. We're going to shout to high heaven when we talk about going to heaven. But do you realize that there's more people that's going to hell than there are any going to heaven? I'm going to ask you to do something for me, which is going to be hard. Would you do this for me this morning? There might be somebody sitting in this room who's a church member who doesn't know Christ. There might be somebody sitting in this room who think they know Christ and don't know Christ. So I'm going to ask you this morning, refrain from talking to your neighbor. For you might be talking to somebody who the Lord may be trying to deal with, the devil's using you to interfere with them and what the Lord wants to say to them. And you give me plenty of time this morning, so listen to me very carefully. You got time. It is about 20 minutes, 22 minutes after 11. And so unless you absolutely got a major, major appointment to be at, don't leave this morning. Eternity depends on it. Eternity depends on it. And I'm probably the lowest I've been in a long time, but I'll tell you why. The devil doesn't want you to hear the reality of the truth that there is a place called hell.
Amen. Come on, brother.
And so would you do me the honor and privilege this morning of staying in tune with God? Not only you don't have to listen to me, you don't even have to look this way. You close your eyes, it don't matter. But I want to share some things that I find, and I'm going to do the counterpart. I'm going to do the counterpart. A lot of you won't be here tonight, but I'm going to do the counterpart. I'm going to preach to you a series of sermons this morning, starting this morning on hell, what hell's all about. But I'm also going to turn around tonight and preach a sermon on what in hell does the church need. There's some things in hell right now that this church needs.
Come on, brother.
So you got all afternoon to think about those things. There's some things going on in hell that Cedar Grove needs. And so I want you to listen to me this morning, and I want you to just see what God has to say. And just let's see, make sure where we're going, all right? If you travel with me 7 miles west of I-81, north of Ashland, east of Mount Carmel, and you and I decide to go to the bypass, we're going to take Route 6154. We're going to come to a town by the name of Centralia, Pennsylvania. You and I would enter that town and we would discover there's not but 10 people living in that town. 10 folks. 1983, there was 1,000 folks. Prior to that, there was about 10,000 folks. We discovered that there was only about 10 people living there. And we're told that the highest debt of the town was a $92 bill. And they said the town was in the black. Now what happened to this town? Well, our government bought this town out, and there's not but 10 brave enough folks to live in this town, because you see, years ago, in an undermount, about 1961, under the ground, there was a fire burning in a coal vat. And that fire has got larger and larger, and residents are horrified to live in that town with a fire the ground for 400 acres under the ground. They say you can't walk across the ground barefooted because you burn your feet because of the heat coming underneath the ground. They'll also tell you that you got that sulfur smell all the time coming from under the ground. And they changed the name of the town to Hell Town, USA. The fire underneath the ground is 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit. That burns 24/7. And so nobody wants to live there. And the people made this statement. And matter of fact, on a sign, when you and I would enter in that town, here's what it says. Who wants to live in hell? Who wants to live in hell? That's a good question. Who wants to live in hell? Undoubtedly, a lot of folks, because they're making the choice to do that very thing. Who wants to live in hell? Many, many are choosing to go to hell. We've got Baptist church folks who are choosing to go to hell. We've got Sunday school teachers and choir members and children workers who have never had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. By their own decision, they're going to hell. And you say, stop, stop. God's not going to send a faithful church worker to hell. No, God's not going to do it. You're going to do it yourself. Do it yourself. For going through this baptism pool, walking the aisle, shaking a preacher's hand, does not mean that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Doesn't mean that. And I'll go ahead and go step further. It doesn't matter if your grandma and grandpa was instrumental in creating and forming and fashioning Cedar Grove. You're not going to get into heaven on your grandma and grandpa's coattail. And God, listen, Cedar Grove has done some wonderful things in the past, and we applaud those who helped us get here. I'm standing on the platform of where some of the greatest men stood here and in the building that burnt down. But I will tell you, God doesn't want us to worry about the past. God has a work for us to do right now.
Hey,
good preaching, brother.
So if you go to hell, you're going to go on your own. And true friends, don't let friends go to hell. People that have been saved, don't let their friends go to hell. You know something? We have the greatest news. We have the escape route for folks to get out of hell, and we sit back and never share the escape route.
Brother.
If any church knows about fire, this church ought to know about fire. And guess what would happen? If our fire alarms was to go off right now, you would run over each other getting out of this building. And I'll be honest with you, you better get out of the way because this fat preacher's going to be right with you. You say, oh, you ought to go down with the church. No, 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 I'll be out in the parking lot. I don't like fire. Fire hurts, burns. Well, let me go ahead and tell you. Don't you think it's time for us to sound the fire alarm and tell folks that hell is hot and hell is real and folks are dying every day and going to hell?
Amen, brother. Come on. Preach it.
And we sit here and sing our songs and read our scriptures and pray our prayers, and we get up and go home like we've done God a favor. You haven't done God one thing. Guess what? It's a great, great, great privilege to be able to worship our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And things are going to get worse. Only 35% of Baptists believe there's a hell. 35%. Out of our 8 seminaries, do you know that 71% of the guys coming out of our seminaries today don't believe there's a hell? there's such a thing as hell? What? You know that 73% of American people say yes, they believe there's a place called hell. And in that 73%, only 76 of those believe, say that they're not going to hell. You know, 76% of American people say they're not going to hell. And 73% say there is a hell. Well, where do these people think they're going? Only 2% of American people will confess today that they're going to hell. 2%. Let me go ahead and tell you something. I don't care what the 8 seminaries are saying. Students coming out of that. I don't care that there's not but 35% of the Baptists that believe there's no hell. Can I tell you something? That does not change the Bible. There is a hell, and Jesus told us there was.
Amen. Come on, brother.
And I have been gracious to you. For back in my day when I was preaching, and I preached maybe one sermon on hell or done something like that, I would come into the sanctuary that morning and cut the air off and turn the heat on. I've done that. And people would just go crazy. It's hot in here. It's hot in here. It's hot in here. Well, let me go ahead and remind you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, this heat in this building doesn't compare to what hell's going to be like.
Amen. Amen.
And so I want you to listen to something. You say, well, I sat still today, but I ain't going to tackle these next 2 Sundays. We'll mail you a DVD. There's a place called hell. Who's going to hell? Well, the beer drinkers and the cigarette smokers and the pot smokers are going to hell. They're not going to hell, but will they do those things? Well, who's going to hell? Listen, the people who don't come to church, well, doesn't mean they're going to hell. You know why a lot of folks don't come to church? Because the folks inside the church are so mean that they don't want to come and be a part of the mean folks sitting on pews.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Well, who's going to hell? People who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
People who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So if a choir member don't know the Lord, they can sing pretty. They're going to hell, according to the Bible. Sunday school teacher can teach good, but if they don't know Christ, they're going to hell. Tithers and givers who don't know Christ are going to hell. No. I've helped keep the church open. Now, I'll tell you one thing. You've only given what God's told you to give. He's the one who keeps the church open. It's found 54 times in the Bible when it talks about Hades, Gehenna, the place of burning. Hell is a real
place.
I wish to God I could found it. And I may before this series is over about the man who was in Anderson Hospital who literally went through hell that night and God showed him some things and he came to know Christ. I wish I could find some of those families that I dealt with and we watched some of their loved ones die without Christ and we watched how their dominion changed before they left this world. Hell is a place.
Amen.
While we sit in this sanctuary, somebody will die and go to hell. If you had a heart attack while this sermon was being preached, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you'd say, well, I might go to hell, let me tell you what you're doing. You're playing Russian roulette with eternity. Well, I got plenty of time. No, you don't know that. I can do it tomorrow. You don't know that. Understand something. Hell is a real place where real people are going who's going to be in real pain. Let's talk about this morning the miseries of hell. Now listen to me very carefully. This is a whole different concept of the way I do things, but I want you to listen. Chapter 16 of the book of Luke tells us a story of a rich man and a beggar. The rich man had everything that he needed, or he thought he needed. You know, he had everything. He had the big chariots, and he had all the stuff that everybody said. Look at him. He's really prospered in life. Lazarus had nothing but a body full of sores, and he laid at the gate of the rich man wanting just a crumb. But the rich man didn't want to share anything. You got the rich man and you got the bed. And guess what happened? Both men died. I don't care how much money you've got, it doesn't matter how much property you own, and it doesn't really matter what kind of car is in this parking lot, wealth will not keep you from dying.
Amen.
And God cannot be bought. God can't be bought. Well, they both died. And according to verse 22, it said, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Guess what happened? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present. It didn't say he laid over somewhere for a while. It said that the beggar died and was carried. Was means right then. Hallelujah. Because Jesus lives inside of me. When I die, you don't have to worry about me. Bless God. I'll be in Abraham's bosom.
Amen, brother.
Hey. Not because I'm a preacher. No, a preacher ain't got nothing to do with it. Jesus has everything to do with it.
Amen.
The angels carried back. You know, you've heard this story when the angels come for you. It's true. I've heard folks tell me, older folks who really, their faith was stronger than anybody would say, Preacher Rock, there's angels around me. And I said, well, bless God, go with them, don't stay here with us. But the rich man also died and was buried. Now let me go ahead and tell you something. I think he had a whale of a funeral service. Everybody who was ever anybody came to this man's funeral. And I'm fixing to make half of you mad, but I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. It doesn't matter that Whitney Houston had a four-hour funeral service. If she didn't know Jesus, she's in hell. A four-hour funeral service didn't do one thing for Whitney Houston.
Amen.
And oh, we'll have an hour service for you if you want us to, but I'll go ahead and tell you, if you're not in Abraham's bosom by then, you're not getting that.
Right. Amen.
So I think they all gathered around. Oh, I bet they whined and moaned, but you know what? They were waiting to hear. They were no different than the crowd today. Everybody wanted to get in on the reading of the rich man's will. They wasn't worried about them. Him, they was worried about themselves. So he died. And verse 23 says that when he died, in hell, he lift up his eyes. The saddest words that I find is the words in hell. And unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ, one of these days you're going to open up your eyes and you may be in hell. For I've come to know that pride's going to send a lot of you there. The pride of saying, I never knew Christ. Well, they might think something bad of me. They may not. I've been a deacon. I've been a teacher. I've done this and that. Mom and dad did this and that. They may think bad of me. Well, I'd rather for folks to talk bad about you, because they're going to talk about you regardless. I'd rather for them to talk bad about you and you go to heaven when you die than go to hell.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Church in Union County several Sundays ago had a service on that morning. Tom Tucker brought a message to that church, and they had 15 folks saved. Now 15 folks, they had three men on the deacon, serving as deacon, who walked the aisle and said they never had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what else is going to send a lot of folks to hell is their self-righteousness. You think you're better than everybody else. Jesus don't care what you wear on the outside. He wants a place on the inside.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Be very careful how you treat folks, because you may push folks out of church, and when you push folks out of church, you will stand accountable, I believe, before God himself one day, because you thought you were better than God. Nobody's better than God. We all need God, and he made a way that we could get to him, and he did it through his son Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus was born in a manure-infested stable, and the head would have a time to know that a baby was born in that field. But he was. Get rid of the self-righteousness. Get rid of the pride. And I'll tell you one other thing. A lot of you are going to die and say in hell you're going to look up because you were a Baptist. Baptist. You know what people think because they're a member of the Baptist church, everything's okay. It don't matter what the title on the sign says out front. It matters if Jesus is in your heart.
Amen.
Good preaching.
In hell. In hell. In hell. You say, well, preacher, what if you're wrong about this hell? You wouldn't take a chance to see it? In hell. Just admit today that you need Christ. Jesus will even save some of you strut around peacocks who think you're the owner of the church. Let me go ahead and tell you, you're not the owner of the church. There's not but one head of the church and one right who owns the title to the church, and it's Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen, brother.
There'll be a lot of so-called owners of churches that stand in hell. What is the mystery? What is the misery? Well, it's unexplainable. There's no way that I can fully explain what's going on in hell right now. The Bible tries to get me a glimpse of what's going on, but I really can't comprehend everything. But I will tell you that I know enough that I don't want my family to go to hell or my friends. People say, well, why don't you just go to hell? You don't want them to really do that. You might get mad at them in that moment, but you really don't want to experience that. The Bible said that the rich man did what? He lifted up his eyes. That tells me that you will have your eyesight if you die and go to hell. And God, will God give you a glimpse of what you have missed? I think so. The rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom.
Come on.
He let the rich man see what he had missed. Your eyes gonna work good when you go to hell. What's gonna happen to that? Be torment. The rich man says, I am in torment. Look at verse 24, what he says. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may deal for. Look at the last thing. For I am tormented in this flame, living in a fire that never, ever goes out. You don't have to turn there, but if we look over to Mark chapter 9, verse 44, let me tell you what it says in Mark chapter 9, verse 44. You'll find the discussion. What's going on? He says that the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Look at verse 45, Mark chapter 9. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt in the life than having 2 feet to be cast in the hell of the fire that never shall be quenched. He said it again. Look at verse 46. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He's trying to drive home a point. Verse 7. 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes and be cast in the hell fire. Verse 48. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In hell, the worms will never, ever, ever die. Night and day, you will be pestered with maggot-type worms wanting to chew and feast on you. You say, that's too graphic. No, it's not. It's biblical. I've done a lot of researching, and I discovered that in parts of the ocean floor, the earth's crust is less than 1 mile thick. And they say that there's a fire burning underneath that thickness. And in the crack of the ocean floor, worms are coming out from the bottom of the ocean floor, and they say they can be up to 8 foot. And they're calling them tube worms. And you cannot drown them, nor kill them, nor And I remind you, if they're coming out from the bottom of the ocean floor, coming out of a fire crack, they're coming out of hell itself. And some of you are concerned about having mice in the building. And some of you are concerned about roaches in the kitchen. I'll tell you what you ought to be more concerned about is the worms that never die in hell.
Amen.
And I'm not a bug man. And I'm especially not a snake person. And I wouldn't want to go to hell because I wouldn't want to have to fight the worms every day. And there's no sleeping in hell. How can you sleep with a bunch of screaming going on? Poor man. I think, church, you tell me if I'm wrong, you're better scholar than I am. I think the Lord wants to get his point across that the worms don't die and the fire's not done. Never go out.
Man, brother. Man.
Three different times. Well, if you look at another passage, and that's Matthew 22, it is the parable of the wedding banquet. And the king sent his servants into the streets, inviting everyone to the wedding, buying him, look at what it says in Matthew 22. Then said the king to the servants, see, he said, everybody to the wedding house was filled with guests, but whenever the king came in and noticed someone not wearing the right wedding attire, not properly dressed for the wedding, their celebration was phony and fake. And here's what he said. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what Jesus said? Take him away from the banquet hall, away from the banquet lights. He said, don't try to crash the kingdom and come in and join the church, hip hip hooray, but without the proper attire. The Lord knows who. Into a place of weeping and gnashing teeth. Non-stop crying. Non-stop gnashing of teeth. Non-stop worms. A non-stop fire. Who wants to live in hell? Apparently, a lot of folks. Torment. But if you go back to my passage in Luke, there's also a verse. When we looked in Luke 16, verse 24, the rich man, when he was in agony in the place of fire, he'd always raised thirst, and he said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Real thirst for real water from a real fan to deal and touch a real tongue. Cool my tongue. Cool my tongue. Cool my tongue. You know something? You're talking about a tongue that's set on fire in hell? You'll find it in hell. But be careful because some of you have tongues that's already been set on fire by hell.
Oh, brother.
Come on. Thirst. The misery is unexplainable. The misery is unescapable. Once you go to hell, you'll never escape. Look at verse 25, what he says. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. He's comforted, but thou art tormented. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot. If you die and go to hell, there's not going to be going from hell to heaven. If you die and go to hell, there's not going to be going from this place to the next place. Do you understand something? If you go to hell, you're there for all eternity. Listen. Said the brother, listen. If you die and go to hell, you won't be able in hell to point your finger tail toward heaven and say, God, you put me here. Because God will say, no, I didn't. You had ample opportunity not to go there.